one more thing right quick now. You saw in the bulletin, we are having choir practice this evening, and it'll be good and warm in here, so come on. 5 o'clock, everybody in the choir, be here at 5 o'clock this evening. We're going to get to work. It's going to be a youth rally before we know it, and we've got a long way to go, short time to get there. So let's, everyone at Wheel, come out for choir practice this evening, and if you've not seen the choir, good time to start. Join this evening, okay? And the Lord will bless you for it. And then our Wednesday night service is at 7 o'clock. I think they're, the guy, men are on the phones right now trying to get us some heat. And be here Wednesday night. Bring the kids. They'll have our kids' class. They enjoy it. They have a tremendous time. So don't miss Wednesday night. It's really, really, really good. Okay? We're studying the book of Galatians, and it's just been tremendous. So don't miss that. Amen. Y'all go ahead. Step between me and the storm before. I don't know about you, but it's a blessing when He steps in between you and your storm. He don't always stop it right when you want Him to, but if He don't, He'll be on that boat with you. I guarantee you that. I promise you that. I'm going to move right along this morning and get right into the message. So you can, I don't want you to be uncomfortable no more than you have to be, but I think it's done come up 10 degrees since we got in here a few minutes ago. And so I think you'll be all right. Let's take our Bibles this morning and open to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm going to read a little bit of a very familiar story and give you a little thought here today, and then I really, really, really want you to be back tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Do not miss tonight's service. It's very, very special. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this is a story of David, the young man, whom we believe was about 17 when he fought the giant. There's several reasons for believing that I won't go into, but and it may not even be right, but it's probably close. Very young man. Probably a teenager. And this young man went out and faced the giant Goliath. And he made a statement here, and look at verse 32. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 32. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." Talking about that giant. "Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." What about that? I'm gonna bring you a little thought this morning about how did David, a young man, probably not much bigger. One of these old boys here this morning, I asked him, he was going to Sunday school, and I asked him how old he was. He said, "I'm 13. He didn't look like he was 4. I mean, one way you know you're getting older is, have you noticed how young the school teachers are now? When you take your kids to school here, and you think, "That's the teacher?" And they look like a kid. And then when you go to the doctor, the nurse, and sometimes even the doctor, looks like he's 18 or 19. You know you're getting old when you start. Everybody starts, "Man, why are they doing hiring all these young people?" It's they're the same as they always was. It's just you're moving off the scene, brother. That's the way David was. Little guy. And he went out to fight Goliath. Now the Bible says Goliath, the giant, was a very, very big man. By our standards, 9.5 feet tall. If there was a different length of a cubit in those days, which I'm assuming there's almost sure that it was, Goliath could have easily been 12 or maybe even 13 feet tall. That's a big man. If he stood right here, head would touch that ceiling right there. A man who stands near that ceiling would have arms that big around. I'm close to that, but not quite. I mean, his arms would be that big. I mean, that guy, he could pick this pulpit up with one hand and swing it up against that wall over there. That's the answer to how them pyramids got built. That they can't figure out scientifically. They couldn't even build them things today with modern equipment, some of them things. Some of them things got granite blocks in them as big as the back of this choir. Big as a train car. Railroad car. Solid rock. I mean, some of them weighing 50 tons and stacked up there neatly, perfect. It wasn't 100,000 slaves working 24 hours a day. That's crazy. They couldn't move like that. They had help. Now, Goliath, the Bible said, he came out, and David went out and killed him, took his head off. Just this young man. How'd he do that? Now, I want to use that as a thought for just a few minutes, and I won't preach long, and it's the subject of what it takes to face life in this day and time. What does it take to face life? All you young people, I have that boy right over. I've been looking for you, Christian. How old are you? You're 13. Stand up right there. See that boy right there? He's a piano player, singer, preacher, all that. He is 13 years old. Remember what I told you a minute ago? Look how little 13 looks nowadays. Remember when you was 13, you thought you was big and you was grown? I remember when I was little, you can sit down. When I was young on the bus, I would see these big high school boys, and I'd be sitting, I was little on the bus, and these big high school boys would get on the bus and they'd come back through the bus putting their hands on the top of the bus. I used to sit there and think, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen anybody do in my life. I cannot wait till I get to where I can put my hands on top of the bus. I was in the 12th grade before I could do it. I remember them. I thought, man, them guys are big. And you know what? David, when he went and he saw Goliath, he said he could not do that in his own strength. Take me down, please. He could not do that in his own strength. It was impossible. It was impossible. So David did this. He said, "Now look, Saul." He said, "I'm going to go fight that guy. You going to help me?" And Saul said, Well, I've got a lot of important meetings and stuff coming out. All them men was chicken to fight that giant. And here goes David, said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." And Saul starts putting his armor on him, putting his helmet on him, giving him that big old sword and all that. He said, "I can't fight with all this junk." He said, "If you'll let me, I got something that'll take care of him." And he said, "How's that?" And David said, "I'll tell you my story, King Saul." He said, "I was down there keeping my daddy's sheep one day." And he said, "All of a sudden this lion come out of the woods." And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord come upon me." And he said, "When he did, I grabbed that lion by the neck." I mean, he's a little old boy, little old 13-year-old boy. Grabbed the lion. Well, African lion, big old lion, them big hair sticking out like that. I mean, he had a big old fro on him like that, you know. Come out there to eat David. And he grabbed him like that right there. He said, "I pushed him in the nose, kicked him in the gut, and I rolled him off down the hill." And he said, it wasn't but a day or two later, he said there was some kind of monster and tiger and a wolf come out of the woods, and it was going to come and eat my daddy's sheep. He said, I'm going to help. And I jiu-jitsu'd him, and I karate-ta, and he said, I used my karate on him and throwed him off down in the woods. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord come upon me again." And he said, "Let me tell you something, King Saul." He said, "The same God that delivered me from the hand of the lion and the paw of the bear shall deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine who has defied the armies of the living God today." That's what he told him. That's big talk for such a little boy. And you know where David got that? He got that from God. God. I've had people tell me the whole lot of times. I've got up and preached. I'm preaching to 1,000 people somewhere. And boy, I'd be just telling them off and everything. And somebody'd say, "Man, I'm telling you what, where'd you get them guts like that?" I said, "The Lord, the Spirit of the Lord come upon me." Same place David got it. "The Spirit of the Lord come upon me. The Spirit of the Lord come upon me. The Spirit of the Lord come upon me." So you know what we need to face life? We need courage, number one, that don't fail. It takes a lot of courage to face life in the generation that you and I are living in. Think of the future. All you young people in here this morning, what kind of a future have you got? It's bleak. I don't want to be a doom and gloom prophet, but I'm telling you, watch the news. Listen, watch the interest rates. Watch the dollar bill go down. We could be in for some bad times in the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Even in the Bible, in Genesis, it said there come a time when money fails. When money fails. In the book of Genesis, twice, it said when money fails. And what if China ever decides to go on another standard besides the dollar bill, brother, our dollar bills are shot. And they're talking it and pushing it right now. What kind of courage does a young person need? I'll tell you what we need. Our faith cannot be in our educational system. Our faith cannot be in the way we were raised as smart to make a living. Our faith cannot be in our own ability. We're going to have faith in God that'll take us through the hard times and through the difficult times. And the Lord will bring us through, people. Listen, it takes courage that's unfailing. It takes courage to stand up. It's tough to stand up at school when people make fun of you. It's tough to stand up and say, "I'm a Christian," when some of your friends want to go to a party. It takes courage to stand and say, "I believe in Jesus Christ," when everybody else at work is making a joke out of it. What we need in this generation is some people with some courage that'll stand up and say, "I believe right." Amen? Courage, people. I'm telling you, we got a bunch of weak-kneed, sissified Christians in this generation. We need some with some courage. We need some with a belief. We need some that'll say, "Listen, what? The Lord's brought me this far. He's took care of me this way. I'm going to trust Him to take me on in the rest of the way." Thank God this morning. We need a courage that's unfailing. We don't need a bunch of people that are just professed Christians. We don't need people that just say, "Oh yeah, I go to church on Sunday." It's got to be more than that. It's got to be something down inside you. It's part of you. You don't have to think, "What should I do?" It comes natural. You live it every day. You love the Lord. You read your Bible. And brother, when the trial comes, you'll be what you ought to be. Somebody told me the other day, they really appreciated me saying this, and I say it all the time. The way to be where you ought to be tomorrow is do what you ought to do today. You know how to be ready for that trial that's coming down the road? Live right every day now. When the trial comes, you'll be ready for it. Heard about this guy. Talking about his temper. We come to the altar and we ask God to forgive us and we don't really mean it. This guy had a real bad temper. I mean, he'd fly mad and cuss you out. And he'd lose his temper with his family and his wife, you know, and everything. And all cuss his kids out and everything like that. And one morning he went to the altar. And he went to the altar and he said, "Lord, I want you to forgive me. I'm never going to get mad again. God, if you'll help me." And he really meant it. And he prayed and he went out in his car. And on the way home, he got in a traffic jam. And nothing can get you more aggravated than trying to get to work or trying to get somewhere and getting a traffic jam. Man, I'm telling you, sometimes you got to be there. I've been going to the airport before. Man, I've went in the grass passing by. People cussed me and blow the horn and everything, but I'd get to the airport. He was in the traffic jam like this. And he said this guy got in front of him. And the guy was behind him. And he's sitting there like this, and he's going real slow, just easing up. About that time, that guy behind him goes, beep, blows his horn. And he thought, he felt it. You know, you just feel that fire go through you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. All you ladies know what I'm talking about, don't you? You just feel like fire. She's going, and anyway, no. Get behind me, devil. I ain't going to get mad. I'm not going to do it. Okay. I'm all right. I'm not going to get mad. He said about 30 seconds later, that guy goes, beep! Oh, here it comes in. He felt it building. And he wants to turn around there and cuss him out. He said, "No, Lord, help me. It's just a test. I'll be all right. Lord, help me." And he's something like this. Boy, about 5 minutes later, that guy goes, ding! He lost it. He slung that car door open, jumped out of that car, went back there like that with his fist right back to hit that guy. And he said, "Hold on, wait a buddy. I'm going to..." And that guy rolled at him in. He said, What's wrong with you? He said, "I'm going to bust your nose." He said, "I just saw your bumper sticker. Said, honk if you love Jesus." And I was like, you know what I mean by that? It takes more than a bumper sticker to really make you live right. It takes more than a sticker on your car. You say, "I'm a Christian, I got a bumper sticker on my car." You better have a little bit more than that. You better have a little God down in your heart. Well, I mean, when the difficult times come and you have to face temptation and you have to face... Listen, people, life's tough sometimes. Sometimes the devil will hit you with everything he's got. I wonder about people that just float through and never end. They're the same all the time. Listen, we fight battles. This life is full of battles. The devil will throw everything at you, let the kitchen sink at you. I mean, the devil's trying to stop you all the time. Once you make up your mind to live right, he'll throw everything he's got at you. You know what I'm talking about? Say amen. The devil will fight you. He'll fight you through your family. He'll fight you through your job. He'll fight you through your mind. He'll make you think all kind of crazy stuff. He'll make you doubt the Bible. The devil will fight you. But we need some Christians that'll say, "I have courage. I will not give up. I will not give in. I know we're in 2014. Listen, I remember preaching when we thought 2012 and 13 was a science fiction novel. I remember thinking, "I will never have it. We'll be in the tribulation with them." Here we are in 2014. We're out on a limb, buddy. I mean, we are at the jumping off place. We are there. But right now is not the time to go to church less. Now is not the time to lay your Bible down and not read it. Now is not the time to start letting up, people. It ain't the time to start getting worldly. It ain't the time to start saying, "I don't believe that way no more." It's time to buckle down and say, "Dear God, help us live right and serve you. Have some courage to see this thing on through." Listen, I started out believing what I believed when I was 19 years old, and I still believe the same thing this morning. I ain't always a perfect Christian, but I'll tell you one thing. I believe that if it got the job done back then, it can still get the job done today, and it'll work in your kids and my kids and our kids and fellow brothers and sisters. It'll work if we'll still believe this book and preach this thing. I'm telling you. Listen, you know what you need? You need some courage. I'll tell you something else you need. Number two. You need some Christians who are your friends. It does matter who you hang around with. It matters where you go on Friday night and who you go with. It does matter the people you let your kids hang around. They said, the old preacher says, "Show me your friends, I'll show you your future." You listen, kids? Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Because you are going to be like whoever you hang around. The Bible said, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" You hang around with people that smoke pot, You're going to wind up doing it sooner or later. You hang up around people that rob and steal and do crazy stuff, you're going to be in it sooner or later. And if you're in the car with them, even if you ain't doing it, you're just as guilty as they are in the law's eyes. I'm going to tell you this morning, we need some Christians as our close friends. We need some Christians who are friends. We need some young people who will say, you know what? I'm going to find somebody better than I am to hang around. Oh, poor little old Justin Bieber. Y'all heard, bless his little old heart. I kind of felt sorry for the little brat this week. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit tonight. He ain't got no more sense. You know what they said? They said, they got on the news and they had him on there, and he rented out this place for $75,000 to have a party the other night. And they said his bond at $2,500. And the news bums there said, reckon he can come up with that? I said, Lord, his tennis shoes cost more than that, I bet you. And they got him on there. And you know what they said? They said all of his entourage, all of his supporting cast, all of them are pressuring him to have psychotherapy back in California. They said, and he ain't been 19, he ain't got no sense. Dumb little old thing. A boy that age ain't got no business of $75,000, let alone $75 million. And you know what? And they said, you need psychotherapy. You need psychotherapy. Huh? You let me tell you what Justin Bieber needs? He needs Jesus. He needs Jesus Christ. He needs to get right with the Lord and honor God and do right. This world don't have the answer. And brother, he is going down the same road as Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, all them too. The devil takes them down the same road, the same road. They can't stand the pressure. The pressure gets on. They think sin will make them happy. They think if I do this, I'll be happy. Let me tell you this morning, you need Jesus. Everybody's got an empty shape in their heart, and only Jesus can fit it. It's like a wrench. You got to find the right wrench to fit a nut. Jesus Christ will fit the empty spot in your heart. You need Christian friends. Number three, you need closeness in the family. You need your family. Don't you ever say, I don't need my mom and daddy. It's the devil that tells you, I'm going to move out and get my own place. So I don't have nobody tell me what to do. Guess what you're going to have? A boss man that tells you everything you got to do, what time to come into work and everything. You're always going to have somebody telling you what to do. Old Bieber still got people telling him what to do. Amen? Michael Jackson had people telling him what to do. There's always going to be somebody bossing you around. Closeness in the family. Closeness in the family. I think our families are in trouble today. Families are in trouble, people. Never, ever, ever been a time where the family's been in trouble like it is today. The devil is attacking families. Husbands against wives. Children against parents. Vice versa. Grandparents. I'm doing some research and stuff, getting ready for the youth rally, and you've heard these specials they've done on these killer kids, where kids are killing their parents. It's an epidemic nowadays. Used to never hear of anything like that. 14, 15 years old. And they're always into this satanic worship, rock and roll, crazy stuff, drugs, all that stuff. And it makes them crazy. And, you know, a 14-year-old girl can beat her mama to death with a hammer, brother. That ain't just being mean. That's demonic. You know that, don't you? I mean, that's demonic power. And brother, I've been studying about these kids. These kids have no hope if we don't have some parents that'll spend time with them, teach them a Bible, and pray with them. And I've told them over and over and over, and I'm going to mention this tonight, get them in hard Bible preaching and spiritual singing and let them learn what worship is. If you've got a child here this morning, you better pray with them. You better get them down at night and read the Bible with them. You say, well, I'm not comfortable doing it. You better get comfortable doing it. You say, I'm not natured that way. If you're saved, you ought to be natured that way. You can read them a sports magazine. You can show them how to play a game on TV. You can show them how to do it. Teach them the Bible and pray with them. Let them know there's a God. And take them where they're... You know what I did with my girls growing up? I made sure they was in the best services I could possibly get them in. Especially youth camp. Because as they're growing up, they need to get saved when they're young. And then when they're about 12 or 13, they need another good hit. And then when they're about 18 or 19, they need another good hit. to keep them in. And then 21, 22, they need another good. And to seal them up. Seal them in. And make sure they'll live right. And the best way to do that is have closeness in your family. Mamas and daddies, I've got a CD that I'm going to try to give every family that's here tonight one. I want every family that's here tonight, I'm going to give you a CD to listen. If you've got a child, you ought to listen to this CD. A man gives a testimony about raising this boy. He had two kids already, and some lady had four kids and wouldn't take care of them, and she gave them a little boy to raise. I want you to hear the story of this young man. If there's anybody here got a son, you desperately need to listen to this. It just happened right down here in Hickory not long ago. When they're that little, and that little, and that little, you think, my kid would never do nothing like that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there ain't a child in here this morning that don't have a sin nature in their heart. And they are capable of doing any crime, committing any sin in the book. And it would break my heart to see one of these kids here on TV one of these days.
You're preaching.
And we've already had that happen. Remember, we had one disappear down here. We had another over here disappear. And one of them died. Another one was murdered down here. She wasn't on our bus route. The little girl that got murdered is all over TV. I'd hate to see one of y'all's mug shots on the news. And a parent come back to church and say, Brother Danny, I never dreamed. I never believed my child. I just can't believe he did it. Listen, wake up, parents. Wake up. You say, oh, they go in their room and they play them and they play their games and they watch their TV and they're on their phone. You don't know what they might be getting hooked up with. Somebody got a, I think this girl's 15 or 16. She don't go to our church. Don't, y'all, there might be a couple of you in here know her. You know what her mom did? For a 16-year-old, her mom had her phone fixed where she cannot get pictures. That's a smart thing to do. That's a smart thing to do. Well, I trust my child. Well, you need to have your head looked at by a good Christian psychiatrist. You cannot trust no child. They have a sin nature. Lady told me one time, she said, I'm going to trust them until they give me a reason not to. They've already given you a reason not to. They were born into this world. That's a reason not to. I'm telling you. She had her phone fixed where she couldn't get pictures, and she does not have the internet on her phone. They ain't no kid that sooner or later ain't going to get curious. Well, I just want to know what's going on out in the world and start punching buttons. And once that corruption gets in their head and in their heart, it ain't never coming out. We're living in a different day. It ain't like it used to be. The filth of the devil is being poured over our generation. Tonight, I'll show you, and I'm going to let y'all have a copy of that CD tonight. Every family that's here, hopefully we can have one for every family. You need to listen to it. We need closeness in our family. Yeah. If you're here and you have children, bring them to church. Put them in youth camp. Put them in Bible school. Make them listen to Christian music in the car. Pump it in their head because the devil's got everything in this world out there waiting as soon as they walk out the door. I'm going to say this and I'm through. Number four, we need confidence in the future. We need confidence in the future. I'll tell you a story. They said these two girls, this years and years and years ago, before there was lights and city lights and stuff like that, were riding a train. They'd ride a train home from school, from the city, and it'd stop and they'd let them all. And they had to walk through a pasture and through woods and everything to get home, way back in the old days. And they had to go through a creek and stuff. And one day it came a big old storm, and the water was up real high. And there was people scared. People were drowning. And they told these girls, they was like 15, 16. I know how girls get when they're 15, 16. I mean, they know everything. They'll make you feel guilty for not letting them do everything they want to do. And some parents will just give up. They ain't no use in trying. I know they're going to sin. I know they're going to sin. Might as well just deal with it. That ain't, don't give up, parents. Don't give up. Your girl can still live right. Your boy can still. They don't have to all get on drugs. They don't all have to get pregnant before they get married. They don't all have. It don't have to happen. Don't give in. These girls on that train, and they stopped their light, and it was dark, and the wind was blowing, trees going over and over like that. And they said, "I'm light." And they said, "Here, y'all better take this light." And they said, "We don't need it. We know how to get home. We'll be all right." And they jumped off the train, took off down through the field. And they call this story, "The Two Girls That Refused the Light." And the next day they found their bodies way down the river somewhere where they thought they could get across that creek, and the current got a hold of them and swept them down. And everybody in the community kept telling the story of the girls who refused the light. And I'll tell you, there's a million teenage girls sitting around this country in churches this morning that's refusing the light. And they're saying, "I don't need that. Come on, preacher, get nuts. This is 2014, man. Get with it. I got my life. I know what I'm doing." And you refuse the light. I got news for you this morning. We need the Lord in our lives. I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to tell you from the bottom of my heart. Tonight, we're going to go home and pray this evening. We're going to meet back at 5 and sing. And by 6 o'clock in here Sunday night, tonight, we're going to be ready for a youth service. Every young person here this morning, go get your friends, go get your family, get them in here today. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Let's stand by our heads for prayer this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody's moving. Nobody's talking. Heads bowed and eyes are closed.